And every once in a while, if you've been here, you know, even sometimes in the middle of a sermon series or something like that, I'll just get an overwhelming feeling that we just need to stop and we need to just let our hearts be captured by the wonder of God, just to stand in awe of who He is and just stop what we're doing, even if it seems like it's you know, a sermon series that we're supposed to have the next part. Sometimes you just need to say the only thing that really matters is the fact that God is here with us. And I think sometimes we miss that. And when we start to feel like, you know, that drifts a little bit, that's what worship is for. And we are supposed to stand in awe of God. Jeremiah 10:6 tells us this. It says, "There is none like you." Just think of that statement there. Sometimes we need to stop, and that needs to be our cry to God. We need to be able to say, "Lord, there is none like you. There is no one like you. No one on earth. There is no thing like you. Nothing is like you. You are wonderful. You are great. You are magnificent. And we love you. Oh, Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might." The power of God's name, the fact that we are His children, that is an incredible thing. And sometimes we just, I feel, need to stop and just recognize how great God is. Sometimes that's tough in our physical world because there are people who are very great and powerful around us. This is probably one of the most powerful men that ever lived in Europe. His name is King Louis XIV of France. And during his reign through the 1600s and early 1700s, he was the most powerful dominant force in Europe. He was actually passed the kingship at the age of 4. So at 4 years old, he was the king. Now, of course, at 4 years old, he needed some training, so his mother kind of was the regent until he was trained in war and things like that. But he consolidated the power of France, and he was such a powerful king. He reigned for 72 years, the longest of any king ever in Europe. 72 years. He was the absolute monarch. As a matter of fact, he believed himself a representative of God on earth that God had ordained, and he considered anyone who violated or rebelled or did not obey any of his edicts not to have been broken the law, but to have sinned against God. His word was the same as God's word through that land. He was called the Sun King because he likened and put the crest of a sun to represent his kingdom, because he believed as the planets revolved around the sun, France revolved around him. He called himself the Great. And he's the one, some of you may have heard this quote before, but he's the one who's the first one who said, "I am the state." So he held complete power. And then at age almost 77, he passed away. And they had the most elaborate funeral ever known to man. It was in the palace that he had built in Versailles, if I'm saying that right, because I'm not French. No, I'm sorry, Versailles. But it was commissioned statues of mourning people. There was gold everywhere. The coffin was solid gold. There was his crown there and a huge crown that was commissioned of gold that hung over. And when they did that, they actually, as the funeral came, well, let's see here. They dimmed all the lights, so it was dark, except for one candle that stood over the golden casket, so that the reflection of this one light hitting the gold of his crown and of his casket would dramatize his greatness and his power. Thousands were in the building, hushed and silent, waiting as bishop, and I'll probably say his name wrong too, Millicent came to do the eulogy. Everyone waited as he silently walked, stood behind the casket, reached out and snuffed out the candle, and said, "Only God is great," and left. What a wonderful thing to say. Don't you wish that you had times where you thought of something like that? Something that could be so profound and so short, and yet would be remembered throughout history because of the great truth. Everything we do, no matter how magnificent, no matter how much control, no matter how much power, no matter what we have in our hands, no matter what the luxury, it all is snuffed out at some time. And the only thing that is great is God. And if He is the center of our lives and He is what we see as great, then our life has a true perspective. But it is so easy to have it pulled away in different directions. I love Psalms 33:8. It says, "Let the whole world fear the Lord." And that includes reverence, but there is fear to the Lord too. King Louis XIV was a mighty king, but let me tell you something, God is a mightier king. To be the enemy of King Louis XIV is a very, very dangerous thing. To set yourself as an enemy to God, even though He is kind and patient, can be a very, very dangerous thing. And yet when we unite with God, the same power that His enemies fear become the power that protect His children. The power that empowers us to do the will of our King, our Lord, and our Father. And the Bible says here in Psalms 33:8, "Let everyone stand in awe of Him." And I don't know about you, but sometimes my life can get busy. And sometimes I can let all the pressures of life start to dim that light that gives such an awe-inspiring feeling to my heart. Sometimes it becomes difficult to look up from the circumstances and see how wonderful and how powerful God really is. But when we are in awe of Him, our problems shrink away. Our fears dissipate. And worship is important to God's people. Learning to worship is important to us because it helps us to connect with and express and live in the awe of who God is. I love this Psalms 86:12-13. It says, "With all my heart, I will praise you, O Lord, my God. I will give glory to your name forever. And for your love for me is very great." You know, I think about last week when we had the kids share. And it's been on my mind really ever since. And I noticed that Sean wrote something in his weekly reflection about it. But when we had little Shaylee get up here, and she said, "You know, I don't really know how to say it, but I just feel like, you know, when you're outside playing and you're dirty and you're sweaty and you come in and you take a shower and you just feel so clean." What a perfect description of salvation in Christ. What a perfect description of how God makes our heart feel when we embrace Him and when we are in submission to Him. We feel like everything that gets on us and holds us down and discourages us and depresses, all of those things are just wiped clean before God. And our hearts are clean before God because we see God. And I remember during that time on Sunday night when God really spoke to her, and He was speaking to her throughout the week, but Sunday night He really grabbed a hold of her heart. And three times during the service, she came up to me to somehow try to express to me that God was speaking to her. She didn't know how to say it or what to say, but what she was saying is this: I feel God all around me. God is with me. God is with me. One story she didn't tell is that she was having a little struggles a couple years ago with some things, and she was frightened, and she was in her bedroom crying. And she wasn't sure what was going to happen, and all of a sudden she just had this overwhelming peace where she felt God speaking in her heart and saying, I will take care of you. And she told me that night, she said, I heard that again. I just feel like God is going to take care of me. And I've responded to him, and her heart felt clean. She didn't know how to describe it, but she was connected with God. She was in awe of God, and she wanted to do what that does for us. With all her heart, she wanted to praise God. She wanted to give him glory. She didn't know how, but she wanted to give him glory. And so she kept coming up trying to do it. I love Psalm 66:1. And I want you to think of this in a different way from how probably you've read it before. It says, shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. This is not a suggestion. It's not something that some people who are emotional might do and the rest of us don't. The Bible tells us that this is what we not only should, but we need to do. We need to release what's inside of us and shout with joyful praises to God in all the earth. Sing about his glorious name. We've done that. How many of you in here would agree with me that if we took worship and singing praises and singing about God out of our service, they would be really flat, wouldn't they? We need to sing praises to God. We need to worship God. We need to tell the world how glorious he is. We need to say, I don't understand what I've experienced, but it's so wonderful. God is so good. I just want to tell you. I don't worry because God is taking care of me. I don't know how to express that, but I just want to tell you, it's good. It's good. It's good. Tell the world how glorious God is. Say to God, I want you to get these things. Shout, sing, tell, say to God. We need to say to God, how awesome are your deeds? Those are commands in the Bible that if we neglect them, the relationship and the bond and the emotional experience we have with God, it dries up. It's just like if I'm married to my wife and I won't tell her I love her because I told her that when we got married. And if it changes, I'll let you know. But don't worry about all that emotional stuff. How many of you know that if you're not romantic, you don't have any romance? If you want romance, you got to be romantic. If you want an emotional connection with God that grips you the way it gripped David, who wrote these Psalms, and the way we all have a desire in our heart to be connected with God, where we feel exploding, overflowing love for him, and we feel his love coming back, man, you got to shout it out. You got to sing it. You got to tell the world. And you've got to say to God, you are awesome. The things you do in my life are awesome. The things I see you doing around me and other people, it's awesome. And that worship inside of you connects you to God in a way that inspires you to look at life different, to choose differently, to act differently, and because of those choices and actions, to experience differently. We experience God when we worship him. Just like we experience romance in our marriages when we're romantic. And so we shout joyful praises to God. That's an experience some of us feel intimidated to do. But just think about it with me. What are some things that you would like to just shout to God and just praise him and thank him for? Now, I'm going to turn this down because I don't want to scare you. pull you out of here. But I think if I shout, can you hear it through this one? Is it too much? But we ought to be able to see God and just say, God, thank you. Thank you for the mercy you showed on me. Why would you ever have wanted me after the things I have said and I have done? Why would you ever want to take someone who is so self-absorbed and self-centered as I was and come into my life to give me the opportunities that you've given me to bring the people who love me into my life? Why would you have ever chosen me and saved me out of who I was? Thank you for being so patient. How could you be so patient? Thank you for being kind and taking care of and protecting me, even when I was not following you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for intervening. Thank you for paying for my sins. Thank you for all the things you have done, bringing me out of the profession I was in, here to Eastwood, here to Chattanooga. Thank you. Thank you, God. I know that sounds silly. I should really be embarrassed to do it here. But I want to tell you something. There is something that happens in your heart when you release, not caring who thanks what, but simply to God, you release the energy of your praise that is different from just saying it. That's why God tells us that we are to shout our praises. We are to shout our praises and talk about his awesome deeds. Shout joyful praises to the Lord, all of the earth. Now, I would suggest that you do it in a private place, probably. Don't do it at work. But we are able to walk with God because we do this. I like the New Living Translation version of chapter 12, verse 1, verse 2 in Hebrews. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards. And Isaiah tells us that joy is that he would have many brothers and sisters, us. He died on the cross that we might be part of his family, that we might know how tremendous his love is, so that it would excite our hearts so much that we would explode for praise and we would be drawn to God in a relationship with God. And our praise and our worship keeps our eyes focused on God. When we don't praise God, when we don't worship God, when he's not on our mind, so he's not in our conversations, we're not telling people about God and how our relationship is centered on him. When those things are not happening, the emotional connection we have with God seems to drift. And it's not because God's not there, it's because we've lost that romantic touch in our life. Now I'm going to let Rhonda come up here a second, and I'm going to just let her help me with the next little section of Psalm 66, because we're going to continue on with it. It tells us after we shout and sing and tell about God, that we're to come and see what our God, that we are to respond by saying, come and see what our God has done, what awesome miracles he performs. And I know that your heart is captured in worship for God and gratefulness. And you've seen some mighty, mighty, what you would call miracles from the hand of God in your life.
Yes.
And most of you know Rhonda has battled with cancer for a while. Like everyone else, she has prayed that God would take that cancer away. But for some reason, God has left it. And she has been on a journey where God has done many things, and we don't have time for all of those, but we're going to talk about what's happened this week. One of the things is during this struggle, God has really bonded you to him, because a lot of it has been just you and God.
Right. Yeah.
But he has moved in a way now that you are started to feel like there's more than you and God involved here, but he has started to bring a team around you.
Right.
And I'll just let you just tell that little story.
Oh, they're so hard to just tell one. Okay, this week I was put back on chemo as a to try to tread water until we decide what course of action to take. And I found out on Tuesday that it was going to take, I was supposed to start it on Monday. I found out on Tuesday it was going to take at least until this week, coming week, to get it because of insurance and things. And that my pharmacy that I was supposed to use, I can no longer use because our insurance changed in January, and I had to use a pharmacy out of Salt Lake City, Utah. And they couldn't get it approved for 3 or 5 days. And then he called me and said, I was looking at your insurance, and it's going to cost $2,700 for a month's supply. And I said, Jonathan, I can't afford that. And do you have any way you can help me? And he said, no, we don't have a foundation or a prescription card or anything, but I'll give you the manufacturer's number and you can call. And so I did, nothing. I called back, and he said, Mrs. Spence, I called your insurance company while we were off the phone, and it will come down to $300. I said, oh, Jonathan, that's so much better, but that's still a little too high. And and so he said, well, hold on a minute, let me go talk to my manager. He went and talked to his manager, came back, and said, Mrs. Spence, it's going to be $5. And hold on a minute, let me go talk to my manager again. Went to talk to his manager, came back. I was literally on the phone with this man for about an hour. And he said, Mrs. Spence, we decided to approve to let the other pharmacy get it because we don't even have this medication on our shelf. We would have to order it from the company, get it on our shelf, and then send it to you, and it would be still next week. So we're approving this. You know, they're losing money to not fill this prescription for me, for the pharmacy, and we'll let them fill it for you. So I was like, Jonathan, thank you. You are one of God's warriors for me, thank you. So I got the phone, I called the other pharmacy and say, and I was on hold with them, and they were calling me, and the lady who I'd been talking to this whole week, also, she was calling me saying, Mrs. Spence, you're never gonna believe this. And I said, I know. And she said, Mrs. Spence, they're telling us it's $5. I said, I know. And she said, it's just 3:30 on Wednesday afternoon. And she said, Mrs. Spence, if you'll let me hang up from you really quickly, if I can make it by the 3:45 when the FedEx comes, if I can get this filled, you can get this tomorrow. So literally 20 minutes later, I get an email with a FedEx tracking number. And I get my prescription Thursday.
And it's wonderful how God works. And, you know, we're all human beings, and Rhonda has great faith, but we're all human beings, and we ride that roller coaster. And we have emotions that God gave us. And when, you know, the cancer came back, I got a text from Steve, and he said, you know, it's not good news. He said, Rhonda's real upset. He said, don't call her. She needs some space. Because you've got to process those things and get a hold of what's going on. And during some of that time, the things with the doctor started to change, and she got, all of a sudden, she's got the personal cell phone number of her doctor. They're making calls for her to get her on a national board and look for other options. She had an appointment that she wasn't going to have, and what did the nurse say when you got that?
I had an appointment February 16th to go to University of Alabama to meet with an international known thoracic surgeon, and that's as soon as they could get me in, so that's one reason why they put me on chemotherapy until we can get there. And so I called my surgeon's office to tell them that I couldn't get the appointment until the 16th, my local surgeon here. And then the nurse answered the phone at 4:59 on a Friday afternoon. And she said, Mrs. Spence, Dr. Hedrick is actually out of town right now at a conference with Dr. Serfolio, who is the doctor I'm going to go see at UAB. I'm going to text him and to remind him that he needs to talk to Dr. Serfolio about you. And she said, I'm also going to call on Monday and see if they can get you in earlier. So I said, okay, thank you. Monday she calls me and said, Mrs. Spence, when I called Dr. Cefolio's office, they knew your name already. They knew all about you.
And isn't that cool?
And I'm going this Thursday.
Mm-hmm. And
but, you know, but what I want you to hear is they knew my name.
And God works in different ways, but he gives us what we need. He gives us what we need when we need it. And that changes during time. What she didn't tell you is that when she started that phone call with Jonathan, the pharmacy in Utah, she said, "Now, are you telling me you have a life-saving drug, but I can't get it?" And he said, "Yes." And she started crying.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
When she called him back.
I did the Christian thing and cried.
When she called back after all these things had happened, he told her, he said, "I pray for you every day." And it was just a little signal to her that it's not about the things that are happening. It's the fact that God is before her. I love verse 6 in the psalm we're looking at. It says, "He, speaking of God, made a dry path through the Red Sea, and his people went across on foot. Come, let us rejoice in who he is." And I know Rhonda well enough to know that there are a lot of little things that you could rejoice in, but it's not the pills that she's got. It's not the appointment she's got. It's the fact that God is getting these things for you, and he's taking care of you. He allows you to suffer at times, and he gives you what you need to continue to go through his plan. But do you feel like he's made a red path for you through the Red Sea?
He's winnowed a path, yes.
Well, I want to read a couple of other scriptures here. John 10:3, the sheep, that's us, recognize his voice, that's Christ, and they come to him. You understand what that means. When trouble happens, we come to him, and he calls his sheep out by what?
By their name.
By name.
They know my name.
It's not the fact that we can go and we can do wonderful things and God empowers us. It's the fact that he knows our name, that we are his child. He walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. That is a crucial question. Do you hear God's voice? Do you know God? That comes from your connection and your worship with him. As we listen to him, as we read his word, as we pray to him, as we open our hearts to him and draw close to him, he draws close to us. We never know what path we're on.
Sometimes it's not the path we want to be on.
Sometimes it's not the path we want to be on. But this is how God wants our hearts to be on the path. How great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge? How impossible is it for us to understand his decisions and his ways? I'm speaking to here so they can hear you, but let me ask you this question. Do you sometimes wonder what in the world God is doing?
Yeah.
Do you sometimes say, "I will never understand the reasons and the way, I will never understand what his purpose and way for me is completely until I'm gone from this earth"?
I don't think we will, but he gives us glimpses sometimes.
And if we want the answer, we will always be yearning. But if he is the answer, we can be satisfied. For who can know the Lord's thoughts?
Not me.
Not you. Okay. Who knows enough to give him advice?
Not me.
We were hoping maybe Jonathan at the pharmacy, but but no one. And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back?
Not me.
Isn't that wonder? The closer we get to God, the more we realize it's not about what we do. It's not about our faith. That's a gift from him. We wouldn't have any if he wouldn't come through and do these things in front of us to encourage us. It's easy for faith to dry up, isn't it?
It is.
It's easy to get depressed. It's easy for your husband to say, "Don't call her right now. She needs to get herself together." You know why? Because if God doesn't give us faith, we don't have any.
That's right.
We give ourselves to him, but nothing we give is enough to make him owe us. Everything we give to him is in response out of love because of what he's given us. For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for
his glory.
All glory to him forever. Amen. Let me tell you something. You can't understand that without a heart that is connected and worshiping God. But once you understand that, God can pull everything in the world in perspective. Well, I want to thank you for coming up and sharing that, and I'm going to let you slip down. I'm going to let Jeff step up here for just a minute. Now, Jeff will be much shorter, because Rhonda, really, you can tell she's talking fast because she's experienced this for years. How many of you think she could talk for days? And we would like, oh, Steve raising his hand. And I tell you what, how many of you would like to hear the stories like this one that she could go over and over and over and over? And she could. And she could. My heart stands in awe of your word. And Rhonda, you believe in the promises of God, don't you? Now, actually, this is funny how God works in coincidences, doesn't it? And balances things out. Jeff has a very similar story. And yet, God works completely different in it. Jeff, just share what happened to you this week.
So, a little background story. Last year, the doctor diagnosed Olivia with something. She's been having trouble with her stomach, and he put her on a drug that she takes every month. Back around October, and it's working. It's been working really good. So, it was expensive, but... It was manageable. And so she called on Wednesday and she said, "Hey, can you pick up my prescription?" So I went by the pharmacy on Wednesday to pick it up. And the lady there, she says, "Do you know how much this is?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I know it's expensive. It's like $240. And she says, "No, this is $2,100. And I'm like, "You're kidding. This is something she takes every month." And she says, "You might want to check with your insurance because it may be a deductible thing or something like that." So I couldn't get it, you know, that day. And so that night, that was Wednesday, and I told Bill about it. We prayed about it and was just trying to figure out what are we going to do, you know. And went home that night and prayed. And the next day, you know, I just felt that God had provided a plan for us. And the next day, you know, we made it happen, and Olivia went with me, and we picked it up, and it was interesting. You know, there was the same lady at the pharmacy, and she said, so you're back, and I said, yeah, we're just going to go ahead and get it, and she says, and she told Olivia, she says, "Do you realize how much your dad loves you?" And she says, "Yes, I do," and so...
Isn't that a neat story? And I think back to the verse that we read before. We don't know God's ways. We don't know what his plans are, what he's going to do. And if we're looking at what God does as our reason to praise him, if we're looking at what God does as our reason to be joyful or depressed, connected with him or disappointed in him, you know, here you got $2,000 and something prescriptions. One of them, miraculously, God provides for. One of them, God says, "You're going to have to do a little suffering to suck it up and provide for it." I asked him when we came in here today, I said, "Have you thanked God for," because he had told me the story, and I said, "Have you thanked God for paying for that prescription yet?" And he said, "Well, you know, I think I did." And we looked at that. And what God is doing, he's got different purposes. But how many of you know it is very important for your children to not just know you love them, but to know you love them, to see that? How is God going to use that? We don't know, but it's his plan, it's his ways. And we're not looking at what he does, but we're looking at who he is. You know God is going to take care of you. You know he's going to be good. And you know whatever he leads you, you're going to be grateful.
That's right.
That's wonderful. That's a wonderful place to be. And so you can still worship God.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Jeff. I'm going to let you go down. And we're going to pray, and then we're going to do what the Bible tells us. Let the whole world bless our God and loudly sing his praises. So we're going to do that as we close our service. But let's pray right here first. God, you are so wonderful. You are unbelievable. Because even when we can't see it, and when we don't know what's happening, and when we walk into terrible struggles or circumstances, You're always there in front of us. You're never surprised. You always have a purpose, and you are working good for us. And we just want to affirm to you right now that we love you. We believe in you. We trust you. And we ask you to help us to stop looking so much at what's around us and be lost in our love and the relationship we have with you, so that we can experience the things that you are doing. It would be so easy for Jeff to have just struggled with that payment, found a way to pay it, protected Olivia from knowing the struggle, and never knowing how deeply he loves her. We don't want that relationship with you. We want what's in our heart to be communicated to you. And Father, we are grateful that you sent your Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.